comes meet the sea in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Chris Jeppa.
I'm Katie Norgren.
And with us today is a lovely guest to kick off 2018. First guest of the year.
Woohoo!
Is our lovely friend. She is a internet-y person and a lovely nerd and does a whole bunch of other cool shit. It's Mallory.
Hello.
What's up, girl?
I'm going to put on some hand cream while we do this
podcast. Okay, hand cream. You
just
mentioned
a little ASMR.
Yeah.
Always. We always go for that every episode. Just me. It's just me because Chris is freaked out by ASMR. So.
I don't mind ASMR. I just get reverse ASMR with certain things.
Oh, yes. The sound of eating and...
Like the rejection or the...
She hates.
Repulsion.
Yes.
Of
misophonia.
Yeah, I really... It's... No, I don't... Like... I don't mind eating sounds, Katie, that's
okay.
You.
Okay, no, yeah, that's me. It's you hate the teeth brushing.
Yes, any kind of brushing noise at all just, like, makes me shiver and squirm and it's awful.
Shake.
And even just thinking about it now makes me freaked out. I don't like it.
Okay.
She did a real good wiggle, listener. I liked it.
Would anyone else like some hand cream? It's very dry.
It's very soothing. When you mentioned Mallory is an internet person, internet-y person,
yeah.
And, like, this predates Facebook for me, honestly. Like, I was intimidated by you on the internet at least more than a decade ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember, like, seeing you at events and being like, is that Mallory?
Yeah.
Is that famous Mallory who spells her name all weird?
I might come across as more intimidating than I am. I think I'm really just a big geek.
Yeah, having met you several times in the last few months, I was like, oh, yeah, no, she's fine. She's perfectly nice.
Yeah, thank you.
She's not going to ride a fixed gear bike over my face and put it to the gram or anything like that.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Very gimmicky, I guess. A lot of things to make fun of.
Well, you've got a lot of things. Like, I remember, like, you had your special, your glossary with, like, all of your words that I use a lot of them still.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Mallory coined Raincouver, I believe.
No, Vamnesia was
mine. Vamnesia,
yes. So that's, like, when you live in Vancouver and you forget what the weather used to be like. So right now it's the winter and we forget what summer's like. And then when it happens, we're like, it'll never rain again. And every single June, we call it January in Vancouver because it's cold and rainy and shitty every June. And every June, everyone's like, where's summer? It'll never be summer. This is a terrible year. It's like, this literally happens
every year.
We have a word for it.
We have a weird hot May a lot of the time, and then June just pulls it on back there.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, what?
Yeah.
I thought what was offered would be offered forever.
Yeah, that's Vamnesia.
Not how it works. Yeah.
When you forget.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Vamnesia.
So I really like that. Did you have a live journal?
Oh, yeah.
Did she have a live journal?
I think we met on
LiveJournal. Yeah,
I think
that's how we met. So, yeah.
So it was pre-Facebook. That was, like, the social network before Facebook, basically.
And now it's owned by Russians and no gay content is allowed.
Oh,
damn. I put a lot of gay content on there.
Yeah.
When that happened, I think there was a big movement I saw on Twitter of people downloading their whole LiveJournal history to get it off of there.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Before LiveJournal deletes it. I just don't want mine. Like, nope. Leave that in the past.
It's like when I let my Hotmail address just sort of evaporate into space. I was like, oh, I have so much correspondence with, like, early relationships in there. And I was like, what if I... No, I don't. I don't want to even look at it.
You don't want it.
I still remember, like, the awkwardness of them. So I don't need to go ripping that Band-Aid off.
But it would be so fun for you to read some on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, okay.
It's like a very Sarah Bino thing to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. She the...
Teen angst.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
I was like, why is that name familiar? I get emails from her frequently. Asking me if I want to do that. I was like, no, then I have to find it and then pull it out and then look at it.
Yeah. And then be embarrassed in front of people.
Oh, that part's not a problem for
me
at all. It's
You're
the
there.
Easiest aspect of all of it because I also want attention and I'm not ashamed. About things I should be ashamed about, and I'm very ashamed about things that should not matter.
Mm.
Perfect to be an artist and a performer.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. Oh, boy. So, how was your week, Chris?
What did I do? I don't remember.
Big help. Moving on to Mallory. How was yours?
Let me check my journal.
You got your journal right in front of you.
Yes, your bullet journal.
What did I do? Oh, we had to clean up from our New Year's party. It went extremely successfully. It was very,
very
fun. Lots of people came. We had a big old piss up. We played music until 2:30 in the morning.
How'd your neighbors feel about that?
They were on the corner a lot, so we just really have the one set of neighbors, and they're like the nice, like, two Chinese ladies that live together, and they're like in their 80s, and we're buds.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
we swap produce in the summertime and stuff. It's very cute. So they seemed fine. I was just, like, reading through. I'm like, oh, yeah, I just binged on TV and ate takeout and played Sims a lot. I made a new Sims character. She's a witch.
Perfect.
Yeah, she lives in a small town, and she, like, dated this guy who's, like, super, like, into supernaturals. They have, like, a thing that's, like, supernatural fan, and he's, like, kind of fetishizes her a little bit. He's just like, I just want to hang out with a witch all the time. And then she wound up, like, cheating on him at her bachelor party with her bachelorette party with the dancer.
Oh, my. So,
a lot of backstory for the party Sims. Dancer.
And, but, so then he broke up with her.
A sneaky hand in her cauldron.
Yeah, and then she cast a spell on the boyfriend to make him not jealous anymore, and then married him really quickly.
Wow, Chris, you're a monster.
Locked down.
You're a vengeful god.
When I play The Sims, I just cheat to get as much money as possible and build beautiful houses. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of the
game.
So
you are the city of Vancouver when you play The Sims.
That's correct. Yeah.
Gee whiz.
That's very, very good.
Yikes. Wow.
Anything else exciting?
I have a note in my book saying, try to mop the floor.
Just try.
Just try. And it's not crossed off. But that's because my lovely partner mopped the floor a million times. And I just had all these intentions to, you know, start the year off with all these different things. And
first week's a gimme.
In my book, I'm like, this was supposed to be a habit tracker, and that's just, you know, best laid plans. So be it.
So frickin' be it.
I don't like to regiment myself all that much.
No.
There's only so much that I can do. So... That's good.
Yeah, first week of the year.
Yeah.
This time, last week, it was 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So we've since had New Year's. I've gone back to work, which mm-hmm. has been, you know.
Fine.
Work is fine. But my lovely wife is a teacher and has not had to work this last week. Nice. And on Tuesday morning, like the 2nd of January, my alarm clock goes off and it's, you know, 6:30 or whatever. And then it keeps going off. And I'm like, Allie, it's 7:30. She's like, I don't have to go to work. I was like, oh, right, okay, I'll just go, you stay.
In the nice warm bed.
Yeah, have a nice time.
With the cats.
Did not mean it, I was feeling resentful.
It is very hard to peel yourself out of bed, especially when New Year's Day is a Monday and then you gotta go back to work on a Tuesday. Because I slept till like 1 on New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm. It's a rude awakening.
Mm-hmm. Very rude. Very, unintended. Very rude.
Yeah, I took that day off.
That was smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
All of us decided, it was like, we're just not opening the office until the 3rd instead. Just Aww. To give, like, an extra day of catch-up, and it was extremely necessary and good.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been really rough.
I had to leave the house at 6:30 on the 3rd, though, in the morning.
Ew.
Go to Richmond and do a ribbon-cutting ceremony.
Ew. Did you bring your own scissors, or were they provided?
They were provided. I didn't get to cut the
Were
ribbon.
They comically large or regular size?
They were regular size, but it was a fashion school, and so they were really good
fashion
scissors.
Fashion shears.
So they're, like, yes. super
yes.
short.
They were.
I imagine you do need a nice pair of scissors for a ribbon cutting ceremony, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, even, like, our weird staple scissors we have at work, like, I can't even just cut regular ribbon with that. No. Much less in a dramatic fashion in front of people.
Yeah. You want to make sure that it, like, gets through.
Yeah. Otherwise,
you're just sitting there, like, sawing at
it. Just got, like, a steak knife you're trying to cut it. It's just fraying.
Someone
terribly.
Hold it really tight. I'm just going to, yeah.
Saw it. Can I tell you, can I share my favorite ribbon cutting ceremony that I've ever seen?
Yeah.
On the internet. Yes. Was, I believe, the opening of an animal sanctuary where the ribbon, there was ribbon stretched across and then there was hemp. Like cord tied to what appeared to be some vegetal matter, like some greens, like a bit of lettuce or something.
Sounds
and
very
they brought
vegan.
A little tortoise up and he nibbled the greens until the thing opened. It's the cutest goddamn thing I've ever seen. He's like, ouch. He just munched it. Declare this center open.
I love it.
Thanks, Mr. Shells.
Perfect.
I thought it was very cute. I'm going to have to maybe add that video to the roundup.
How was your week, Katie?
Oh, you know, it was fine. It was a little dramatic here and there. You know, the start of the year is a really tumultuous time emotionally because you're really reviewing your life and deciding what to do with it. And even if, you know, you let that go by the 3rd week of January, it's still the first week. You're like, so much possibility. What do I do with it? So I just fought with a bunch of people.
as you do.
As one does. But honestly, it was all really productive fighting. And I feel like I know myself better now. And I know the people I fought with more. And I feel much more at peace, which is good. But I don't like conflict. So that was, it was murky and strange. But other than that, going back to work's been fine. Work's been fine, not too much dramatics. Going back to the gym is really nice because I fell out of habit over the holiday because they closed a bunch. So
It's hard to go when they're not open.
It's really hard to go when they're not open. Yeah, it's very, very challenging, I find. So, yeah, getting back into that is nice and realizing, like, okay, I'm still doing this. So I started doing it last December, like, 2016, and I'm still doing it now. So I think it's a habit.
Yeah.
I think I win.
Absolutely. You don't even need to make a resolution about that. That's just a thing you do now.
It's just a thing I do now is lifting weights 3 times a week, and it's pretty sweet. But before we started the show today, we were talking about our preferences for how we get moving. And you were mentioning that you've been going to classes?
Yeah, so I go to a real hip gym called Tight Club.
I already have that crossed off on my Mallory Bingo.
Should we elaborate on the Mallory Bingo that we will be playing?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so like a little while ago, I made a little bingo sheet, and I feel like maybe I saw someone else had done it, but I interpreted it completely differently. So it's just a bunch of stuff that I like that's kind of... that I talk about, mm-hmm. and I made a bingo sheet that you could download and print.
Which Chris did.
Which Chris, among maybe 2 other people, did, and has been, like, over time crossing off things on the Mallory Bingo. And, I mean, we've got things like cats, curry, being hangry, equal enjoyment of coffee and tea. I'm drinking tea right now. I had coffee this morning. Oh, cross it off.
Okay, where's that?
Here. Just right there, yeah, under free space.
My God. Make a choice, Mallory. Jeez. I just There's don't no think such I have thing to. As buy drinks you
all. You already talked about a really good veggie dog with all the fixins in I the car. I did! I'm so close. I'm so close to a bingo.
Oh my God, I want a really good veggie dog with all the fixins. What's the best veggie dog?
Well, if you're talking about, like, from the grocery store, yes. I'm just a fan of the Eve's Basic Veggie Dog.
Really?
Yeah. You can get the field roast apple sage is good, mm-hmm. but it's almost too much for me. Like, if you're putting other stuff on it, you just want your basic hot dog mm-hmm. flavor. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, in terms of veggie sausages, we got tofurkey kielbasa, and damn was it ever good, but it's not good as just a hot dog because it's too much.
Too much
But we've
flavor.
Been slicing it up and, like, putting that into pasta sauces Ooh, or... Nice.
Good with, like,
up
onions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then putting that with pierogies.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I've been able to find a lot of veggie burgers that I like, but when it comes to a veggie hot dog, it's hard to get that sort of weird unctuousness that it should have. Mm. You know? Like, mm-hmm. a hot dog should be a little fatty, but it's hard to do that with vegetables.
Yeah, they're always a little dry. Mm-hmm. You can definitely saute them in oil or, like, fry them in oil, which
yeah,
is
Yeah, they're not a hot dog you want to boil.
No. And I mean, like, I usually just, like, pan sear them a little bit, but yeah. Allie does them with onions in the pan, and she, like, slices them a little bit and gets all the onion-ness all in them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a ballpark good. Frank kind of
yes.
sitch.
Yes, so good. Nice. Yeah, so that's my favorite. So, yeah, Mallory Bingo.
So we will be playing during the show.
Good. Right, so I go to a gym called Tight Club, and I started last February, and I...
Are you supposed to talk about Tight Club?
No. I love to promote it. I'm, like, in a cult. It's ridiculous. But, yeah, I really hated getting fit for a really long time. I really hated the idea of just, like, doing something to exercise. Mm-hmm. I always would bike and, like, go to a place. But I hated the idea of just going for a bike ride just 'cause. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really anything like that. And I just preferred to be alone when I was exercising so that right. I could be in shame by myself. But yeah, but some friends decided to do it, and we all, like, did a challenge, and we, you know, went, and we got our 10 class pass or whatever, and we all decided to just, like, do the whole thing, and by the end of it, I really loved it. So I go to classes, and it's group. I think there's, like, max of 20 people per class.
Okay.
You're all working together, you've got a trainer there, there's a lot of partner work, it changes every time. Yeah, I just find it really fun, and it's motivating. And also, it costs money to cancel, so I don't cancel. unless I really have to. Like, if work's going late and I really have to be there, the cancellation fee isn't a big deal. But if I'm just being lazy, then the cancellation fee is, like, enough of a deterrent.
Okay.
Which is good.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, building that in. Honestly, like, a financial penalty is kind of the only thing that really kept me going for a while, because my gym is really pricey, but it's also a lot of personal training. So it's very, very...
Right.
intimate. Like, I really know everybody who goes there, and, like, I've established nice gym friendships with yeah. people. So it's why it started, because I couldn't afford to not go once I'd paid for 3 months, right? I was yeah. like, this is ridiculous. And now it's cheaper for me because I've been going for a year. So they really inspire you to keep coming, because it's gone down.
The price?
Yeah, the monthly price has gone down by, like, $50 or $60 over the course of the year. So now it's like $60 cheaper per month for me to still go. So
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, but it doesn't get any more further down. It's still, like, $220 a month to go, but I do yeah. get 3 personal training sessions, and then, like, the rest of the time, anytime I want my form corrected or whatever, they'll come and check me out, and I have a totally personalized routine, so.
What gym do you go to?
It's called Strong Side Conditioning in New Westminster.
Wow. Wow. Bit of a distance.
Not for me.
Yeah, I guess you do live out there?
It is half a block from my apartment.
That's wonderful.
It is super wonderful. The guy who runs it is a really cool guy, and he actually got hired on at SFU as the head coach of conditioning, and like for people's injuries and stuff, he's there to sort of physiotherapize it out of them. And yeah, so he's working with like the NCAA basketball team or whatever like that. And I was like, oh my goodness, they're very legit. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah, but they don't have classes. Well, once in a while they'll run one, but generally speaking, it's everybody for themselves, right?
Right.
So yours is much more
regimented and communal. And I've made a bunch of gym friendships as well, which mm-hmm. I really like. So there's a community there. I go there, I see people that I like and that I've developed relationships with, so that's really nice. These like canvas straps basically that hang from the ceiling.
Oh yeah,
and they're anchored. Yeah, and so you do a bunch of moves on those.
Lots of body weight stuff.
Yep. A lot of strength, stability, body weight stuff, and you can challenge yourself more or less by the angle that you position your body
at. Angle of the dangle.
Yeah, angle of the dangle. So I really love those classes. We do high intensity interval training, which I think is kind of like CrossFit. I like to tell myself, but I've never tried CrossFit, so I don't know. And then there's one class that's focused specifically on like abs, butt, and legs called Booty Love. We like to call butt stuff. Yeah, and then there's a circuit class I do on Sundays where you go around to a bunch of different stations in small groups and you do different things.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's interesting. There's also a class on Fridays called The Club where it's just like a ridiculous themed workout. So yesterday's was all about New Year's resolutions and like it's pretty far-fetched sometimes. Like it's a bit of a stretch.
The theme.
Yeah, but then there's beer afterward. So they like, you know, a local brewery. So last night I think it was like Strathcona. Right. Brewing or something.
That sounds like really fun and cool and very kind of hipster gym, but I love it.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to kind of just dig in because I've definitely done all of the traditional forms. Like I went to the Just Ladies in North Delta when I was, you know, 16 or whatever and had my own car
for
the first
time. Curves kind of?
Yes and no. It wasn't a circuit gym like Curves is. It was just a regular gym that was just women only, which at 16 and feeling very insecure and still thinking that I really liked men a lot was very comforting. And it was just like a lot of sort of pillowy moms and grands and things there. And so it was like a nice vibe, but I didn't really like, I wasn't committed, and it was far enough away that I didn't go that often, so I didn't do that. And I did, I did this really fancy gym with my mom when I was, like, a really young teen, like 14, 15, called the California Club.
Ooh.
And that was in Newton, I think, and they had a climbing wall that was a treadmill.
What?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Holy shit, that actually sounds really fun.
It was pretty fun, and I was like, nobody watches you. You just kind of strap this thing around you and just climb up, and I'm like, this can't be safe. This has to be not safe. But I really liked that place, but it was also very expensive. And so I've done, like, all of the traditional, you know, you pay your gym fee and you just kind of go whenever you want and you do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't work for me. I have no discipline at all. Mm-hmm. Like, if the freedom is there, like, you hate being yoked and I cannot have freedom. Like, it just, I get so like, well, I'm not doing nothing then. I just need to be told.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've tried a bunch of stuff too. Like I tried climbing. I tried yoga.
Climbing is as culty as anything else, for sure.
For
and it's very horny.
I definitely tried doing some climbing.
Climbing is super horny.
And I like,
it's like a meat market.
Yeah, I was dating someone that did climbing, and so I, like, bought the shoes and bought all the gear and bought all the whatever. I did, like, three things, and I was like, oh, this is really bad for my hands, because, like, your tendons in your hands get so
sore,
solid, and I couldn't play the cello, and I'm like, well, I mean, if it's
one or the other here.
Yeah, if it's a toss-up between cello and, like, rock, I'm, fuck this. Like, I sold those shoes right away.
That was like me in roller derby. I got the whole fresh meat package, and I was like, nope, not for me.
No.
Don't like to fall down.
Yeah, a lot of falling. Very bruising.
Hate
game.
Falling.
Yeah.
Hate it. It's for suckers, honestly.
What, you were talking about climbing, sorry? It's a bit of a...
Oh, no, that's just one of the things that I tried that I didn't like. And I tried yoga. I did, like, a 30-day challenge, and I hated that. Yeah. I've tried a lot of stuff. I tried spin. I fucking hated spin. For someone who likes riding a bike as much as I do, I hated spin class. It's the worst.
Whenever someone says that they like it, I'm so shocked. But I've never done it. It just sounds like something I would hate.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? It's exercise bikes.
Okay. But yeah, so you're in a dark room. There's very loud music. And you have a trainer basically being like, okay, everyone, go up to 4 or go up to 10 or whatever. And you're like, it's the resistance. And then you pedal like really hard for a little while, and then you have to stand up for a bit and sit down for a bit. I don't know. It's basically just cycling. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if all classes do, but some definitely have like weightlifting components as well.
Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like I'd like that.
You might.
You might. Huh. I can see it being really enjoyable, but mm-hmm. I did not like it, I think, because it wasn't really, like, road biking at all. Mm. And I push myself really hard when I bike, and but I do it at a certain pace, mm-hmm. and it was just not like that. It was, like, pedal as hard as you can and as fast as you can. I'm like, no, thank
you. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't like doing that, like, 110% of your, like, heart rate, basically. It's just, I don't like that level of cardio, so I don't do high-intensity interval training, even though I've done, like, some of the stuff that's mm-hmm. part of it. I just, yeah, the rapidness, and I get so panicky when I lose my breath. So, like, weightlifting's perfect for me. I just need to do more cardio. I don't know what the right thing is. I don't think spin class is it, though. Maybe for you.
Chris. I don't know.
I'm going to try something called Club Row soon. Ooh. It's rowing machines. Mm-hmm. And from what I've heard, you're there for like an hour or 50 minutes or whatever, mm-hmm. but you only row when the songs are on, and then they do a break between each song. So you like row hard for 3 minutes, and then you're like, okay, get 30 seconds rest or whatever, or a minute rest. Mm-hmm. So it seems kind of fun.
Yeah.
And it's really full body because it's, I mean, you're using a bit of cardio, and it's also arms, chest, and legs.
You get the sexiest arms doing that easily. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. That sounds like fun. I've always really liked rowing machines too, but you really truly can't do it very long. Hey, like I used to do a 6-minute warm up at the California Club, and I was like, ugh, at the end of it, like it's full body, but it's like the parts of my body that are strong, so I think it works well for me.
Yeah,
got that big old butt and legs.
Yes, a strong trunk.
Got a big trunk too. Wait.
Look in the trunk.
I think he means trunk. Mallory's like, what? What are you saying?
Oh, yeah, sorry, more Simpsons references.
Oh, yeah.
You're the only person in their early 30s who doesn't get Simpsons reference right away.
Yeah, like a couple of them from classic episodes, mm-hmm. but I never really watched it. I don't know why.
Just, yeah, season 2 through 10, I know it by heart, the whole thing. Like, I could just write out the whole episodes easily, which is sad.
It's just, you know, part of our heritage.
I was a lonely kid, and it was on the CBC at 4 every day,
exactly.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, part of our heritage.
But I need these Simpsons episodes back.
The peach baskets.
In your face, peach basket man. You'll never get them back. It's basketball now. That's the alternate ending.
Oh, man. Speaking of, like, bodies and fitness and stuff, you wrote an awesome article on Medium, and that was, like, your relationship with...
Yeah, with sports and stuff.
Sports and movement and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It was just, like, kind of an essay I wanted to write for a little while because I very recently got into sports and had a few friends say something like, who are you? Who is this person? Because for a long time I was, like... very much about the message that sports weren't for me. I didn't like them. I'd never liked them. I have all these, like,
kid.
Totally, all these stories from my childhood of when I tried and failed and just, you know, I will never be good at that. That'll never be a thing that I do. Mm-hmm. So when I started doing it, obviously, that was a big change for mm-hmm. me. And a lot of people kind of reacted to that in that incredulous way that I guess I could have expected. So I wanted to kind of articulate my relationship with sports and how it has changed over the last few years. So I wrote that article. And then I like sent it out to a few friends and one of them said, are you going to share this on Facebook? Can I share it on Facebook? So I shared it and like almost 200 people have read it now, which mm-hmm. is
nice.
Really cool. Yeah. And a lot of people have said that they really identified with it or like had a kind of emotional response, which was really surprising to me.
Oh, not to me.
Yeah.
If anything body related always brings up huge emotions for me. Like, just if it's food and bodies or exercise and bodies or clothes and bodies, like, it's all fraught mm-hmm. as fuck. So I'm always interested to read people's perspectives because it's like, oh, hey, we're not all the same, but boy, do we have a lot of similarities between each other. Mm-hmm. So we all grew up under patriarchy, everybody.
It's like, that's part of my narrative, like, growing up was like, oh, Christina, like, you had terrible, like, hand coordination. You just sat in, like, I just sat inside and read books all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't even tie my shoes, so, like, that they had to put me in sports or music, and they put me in music. And so it was just like, okay, you're never good at sports. Like, you're never going to be good at sports. Every time that I tried to do anything in gym class, it was just an utter failure. I remember, like, almost breaking my neck trying to gymnastics.
Oh,
like,
God,
I just,
no.
like, really bad. And it wasn't until I had, like, a female gym teacher. That was, like, my very last gym class in high school. And she was actually, like, able to coach us in a better way. That was not, like, you have to push yourself like crazy and just, like, play soccer and play basketball. You can't do any of that. Well, you bench, you know. So, it's... Yeah, I still haven't really embraced sports or, like, body movement a lot in the last little while.
You love the water, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love swimming.
You're a real water baby. Mm-hmm. And you're real comfortable and quite speedy in the water. Mm-hmm. I'm a pretty strong swimmer, but I struggle to keep up with you. Mostly because you can handle the cold much better than I can.
Oh, God. You're like a little dolphin.
Yeah, I like ocean swimming. Yeah.
So she'll go in the coldest, well, not the coldest, but pretty cold water. It don't bother you none.
Have you surfed?
No. Mm-hmm. That would be pretty cool. Didn't your sister-in-law, was at like a surf camp or
that
something?
Bitch. She listens to the podcast.
Oh, good.
Fuck you, Katya. It was on Christmas Day, I got a Facebook message from her. She's like, love from Lanzarote, which is, I think, an island in between Africa and Spain.
Oh.
And so she's a violist in the orchestra some orchestra, many orchestras in Amsterdam and Harlem and, you know, Germany and all that shit. So she just like fucking fucks off at Christmas and goes to hot places and then sends us pictures. So she sent me this picture of like, love ya. And then it's just her like standing up on a surfboard for 15 seconds as she like rides away. She's like, day 3, figuring this shit out, no problem. I hate her.
Sounds
she's
really nice.
She's very brave.
Yeah, sounds
she's,
really nice.
She's very brave and cool, and she does anything she says she's going to do, and it's very surprising because I don't know how to do that. She's just not worried what people think, and I love that about her. Mm-hmm.
That's really nice. Mm-hmm.
That might have been a backhanded compliment. She just doesn't care what people think, no matter what. Even if it's that she smells bad. She just doesn't care. I hope she's on her bike right now laughing super, super hard. I like awesome. To give little shout-outs here, because I do not talk to people on the phone.
Right, so this is the way you communicate with everyone.
Yeah, and then she tweets at us.
Oh, good.
And that's how we commune.
That's really sweet.
It's perfect. I love her.
Yeah, good. Yeah, surfing. That's hard. I'm really bad at it. I did try in Costa Rica. I'm a really weak swimmer. I grew up in Calgary, but my grandma did have a pool, so I don't really have a huge excuse. But I definitely...
just say you grew up in Calgary. Yeah. You don't have to tell anyone your grandma had a pool.
But that's part of my kind of personal narrative with sports, too, is that I did swimming lessons. My grandma had a pool. I was always a weak swimmer. I failed red. I don't know. Are they still colored?
Yeah. I got up to maroon.
Yeah.
It was one beyond red, if I'm not mistaken.
It is, indeed. Yeah. So I failed red twice, and then I went to maroon anyway, and obviously failed maroon, because I just can't. I'm just a terrible swimmer. I have terrible coordination. But yeah, I found surfing really, really frustrating. This was probably 3 or 4 years ago now that we went to Costa Rica.
Nice.
So it was still, like, in my infancy of trying to learn that I could do things that are hard for me. So I was really resistant to it. And as soon as, like, I fell off the surfboard the 10th time and had water in my nose, I was like, nope, this is done. I'm not doing this anymore at all. And Allie's like, can I just keep? I was like, yeah, please. I'm going to read on the beach. You surf.
That's really relatable. That was exactly how I quit dancing when I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
Sat down in the middle of a recital and said, I'm not doing this anymore.
No, this is not fun for me.
Katie, please get up and finish it. No. I will not, thank you. But I would have 100% do the same thing, because what you said, I really resonated with me. It was just like, I don't like to do things I'm not good at, kind of. Like,
yeah, it feels bad.
It feels so bad. Like, I tried to go rappelling or abseiling or whatever you want to call it in grade 7 at our grade 7 camp, which is also very cruel to send a whole grade 7 class to camp with each other.
Oh, you're 12?
And I was so, like, chubby and prepubescent, and everyone was so mean to me, and then I freaked out while I was trying to, like, hop down this cliff face, and I had a panic attack, and I couldn't get down. They had to pull me back up. Actually, they were gonna do it, and then they were like, no, we really can't pull you back up, so you just gotta get down there. So, like, the crying the whole time. Everybody's laughing at me.
Oh.
But then somebody else fell out of a kayak in their clothes, so they paid attention to that instead. So it's just like, you know what? You put a bunch of 12 and 13-year-olds together, stupid shit's gonna happen, because they're dumb.
Yeah. Dumb and mean.
Because they don't know stuff, and they're so mean.
Yeah.
They're so mean.
Yeah.
Children.
Totally. Yeah, all my life I just never wanted to do things I wasn't good at, and I was not good at sports, and I really hated it. Mm-hmm. And I think also, like, children are cruel. The teachers didn't have time to really spend time with us. They saw that I wasn't interested, and, you know, that was because I wasn't good at it. So, you know, I was good at other things, and I wanted to do those things instead. And instead of recess, I wanted to be in the library like a big fucking nerd. So, yeah, so I never did it. I never thought I could do it, and it just self-reinforced. And I think... as I kind of learned to do sports and to use my body, and that it's okay to fail and it's okay to be on. Yes, it is. Especially when you're surrounded by people who will encourage you to get back up and then tell you what you did well. It's fantastic. It's such a good feeling.
Such a bitter face.
She's like, no, I don't believe
specious.
It.
Yeah. Sounds fake, but it's
fine. Sounds like claptrap to me.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's true. I think that honestly, like, failing and then continuing and not just giving up was so good for me personally.
Oh my
it really
God.
Helped me, like, grow as a person.
It's the hardest thing to do.
Cool. Yeah.
You just want to turn tail and run.
What was the turning point for you? Like, how did you get a foothold into
sports?
Into sports. I kind of wrote about this in my piece, which maybe some of you will read. Great. So it was about 4 years ago now. I was at a party with some friends, and I made some new friends recently, and it was fun. It was like this fun queer party night. It was the end of summer. Everyone's in a good mood. And I'd been contacted a couple of days prior on Facebook Messenger because I'm very good at puns. And they were like, hey, we're trying to name our new dodgeball team. Do you have any ideas? So I came up with a million, of course. Who let the dodge out? Yeah, absolutely. Queer dodgeball. Yeah.
Who let the dodge out? I like that.
Tessa's team is autododgephilia.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We love autododgephilia.
Yeah, the trans femme dodgeball team.
Yeah. So that happened, and then we're at the party, and everyone's talking about the dodgeball team, and I thought, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. I was like, I'm joining the team. They were like, you don't have to, though. And I was like, yeah, but I'm going to do it. And I'd had a few drinks, and I was like, I'm just going to do this thing, because I know that in the past I've done things that I've made, like, snap decisions about things, and then it's been good, so maybe this will be good. And then it was terrible. It was so terrible. Like, I paid the fees, and I went and whatever, and I just hated it. And, like, I was such a bad thrower. I could not throw. I would get hit all the time. I would make stupid mistakes. I knew the rules, but, like, you know, you just, in the moment, you kind of forget. And I would get hit in the head and just, like, immediately start crying. It was so brutal.
So many, like, childhood memories just coming back with the plonk of the ball.
Yeah. No kidding. Dodgeball's traumatic sometimes.
They use different balls, too. They use smaller balls than I remember. Like, yes. I remember the red kind of kickball.
Like, California
balls.
Kickball, yeah. Those
that
are...
game is the best game.
Yeah. Yes. I almost wanted to start a kickball league, but it's really hard to... Getting people together for that sort of thing, then you always
organizing
have to be there.
Organizing huge amounts of people. No thanks.
No thanks. But yeah, so then in dodgeball, like, I hated it, whatever. But then every time something bad would happen, all of my wonderful teammates and even the wonderful opponents in this, like, super inclusive queer dodgeball league were like, it's okay, sorry about that. You know, you did well. Oh, look how much better you're getting. And, like, every week I'd get this great feedback, like, oh, your throw's getting better. Oh, here, let me help you with that. And, like, you know, they would work with me and... slowly I started getting better, and just that feeling of looking back and thinking how I was at the beginning of the year and seeing myself at the end of the season and how much better I'd gotten. And, you know, I got someone out. Oh my gosh. Or I caught a ball. It's so exciting. And just those little successes really started to cheer me. Aww. And eventually I was looking forward to it and I realized that I loved it. And it was such a strange feeling. Like, oh, I'm enjoying this thing, you know? And I kept trying to not go to the games, too. I'd be like, oh, I'm just feeling a little under the weather. Or, oh, I can't get off work in time. But someone would always come pick me up or help me out. Or, oh, you didn't bring your gym clothes? I brought something for you.
And you're like,
you know,
damn it. I'm trying to self-sabotage here.
Absolutely. And
they wouldn't let you.
Wouldn't let me do it. And they're like, if you really don't want to play. But, you know, it was very hard for me to say, no, I really don't want to play. I'm going to give up because that's such a bad thing to do. It's just such a negative thing to do, and I didn't want to be that person. So I kept going and I kept playing, and eventually, yeah, became sporty.
Yeah.
Now I play softball as well. I'm nice. Part of the organizing committee on both leagues, which is really exciting, both softball and dodgeball. Yeah.
Wow. Frickin' A.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. The organization on the dodgeball is really great because there was a tournament last year and Tessa was in it, and there was a older lesbian who was being really transphobic on the other team, actually. And it was a pretty, pretty rough day. Not the most fun. You don't really want to, like, yell at a butch, like, because she got really aggressive about it. So, yeah, it wasn't super fun. But the organization responded to it beautifully and were super helpful, and everything was dealt with in a peaceful manner, and everybody on the team stayed on the team. Nobody quit in fury, so it was like,
that's good.
Perfect. Yeah, it's just got to respond to things, you know?
Yeah, the organizers are really wonderful, and I think they played in, there's two other dodgeball leagues in Vancouver. Apparently we're, like, one of the leading dodgeball cities in North America, or maybe the world.
That's so funny.
I know. So there's Vancouver Dodgeball League and Urban Rec, I think. I think it was VDL that the organizers used to play in, and it was just really competitive and really angry and lots of just, like, masculine energy, like, anger kind of energy.
The worst kind of energy.
Yeah. On the court, and there were refs, and the ref would be your enemy, which they didn't like. So we have ambassadors in our league. The ambassador is not there to enforce rules. They're just there to clarify only when asked, and then to call the start of the game and to keep track of the score. So it's pretty wonderful, actually. People self-police, and you're supposed to call yourself out. And if you don't, then your team will, because we're all there because we want to have a fun time. Mm-hmm. And they remind us every year, like, we're adults throwing Nerf balls at each other in an elementary school gym. So just relax.
Seriously. that's my lack of competitive spirit is something that keeps me away from sports, but I'll probably join a queer league at some point and play a weird sport like dodgeball or beach volleyball or something like that.
There is a queer volleyball league as well.
Yep. Just in that too. Yeah.
And then there's soccer and there's basketball. Yeah.
There's a lot of people I know that are on at least three of the four.
Yeah.
It's there's some real sporty queers out there.
Oh, yes. And it's great that we have a way to participate in sports where we can be with people like us and you don't have to worry as much, I guess, about being misgendered or, you know, that kind of energy.
Or even like trying to find a team that will accept you.
Yeah. There's a lot of these co-ed leagues where it's like a bunch of guys and then you have to have two girls on the court all the time or on the field or whatever. Yeah. And so they really don't ever pass to you. You're really just a token. Yeah. You're there so they can
guys
play.
Guys brought their girlfriends and they have to play and they got, like, the little jersey on or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Like, whatever the, you know, women want to do. But sometimes you don't get to play because they're just not including you.
Yeah.
Or, like, they are shitty to you. Like, sometimes in softball, if there's a woman batting, all the outfielders will move in a comical amount. And it's, like, it's insulting. You don't need to do that. You don't need to be rude.
Yeah, that would make me not want to play.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Absolutely.
I would just walk like, out there with my bat and just tap them all in the nards. Just like, not hard, just like, thunk.
Yeah.
Just a little thunk. Ding, 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 yeah. Ding. And so they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's a bit of a stoppage of play. It'd be nice to just play without it, but I see the enticing.
No, yeah, that's why I'm not on the team, because my ideas are not all good. But they are fun.
Yeah.
I came here to have fun. I'm feeling so attacked right now.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, we deal with enough gender shit in life every day. Like, why bring it to the sports field when you're trying to have fun?
Because some people just can't fucking have fun. They just gotta win. Mm-hmm. They gotta do it right, and they have to win. It's not about enjoyment.
I love winning. I'm highly competitive. I'm very rule-oriented. But I also don't necessarily need to make the people around me feel bad, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, I think part of the reason I was so resistant to sports for so long is because I do love winning so much. But it's completely possible to have like an inclusive, accepting, open league and still be, I don't know, competitive.
Yeah.
So the softball league that I play in is the Maple League, and there's three divisions. So we have rec, intermediate, and competitive. So depending on how good you are, you can play at a different level. Like I play in rec, obviously. I overran third base and got out last season, which is just, you know, it's not something you do. You can only overrun first. Learned that. There's just so many rules to that damn game.
I didn't know that at all.
No.
Yeah. No. Why would you?
Why would I? I only watched my parents play softball for, like, fucking 10 years, and I never picked up any of it.
I kind of like softball.
I like it, too, but you know what? I didn't like going for the stupidest reason, and I'm really embarrassed about it, but I'm going to just out myself for it on the podcast. There was this really sweet man who would just come to the field, and he had Down syndrome, and he was, like, probably in his 30s, and he wanted you to blow bubbles with him. And he did not know how to recognize when kids were frightened of him getting in their personal space.
Right.
And so I just, like, created this, like, very, like, a very scary man is going to come at me if I come to this baseball game. Aww. So I was always like, I don't want to go. I'll just stay in the car. And, like, I freaked myself out to the point where I just peed in the garbage can of the car so I didn't have to, like, get out of the car.
Wow.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, and I was just like a 5 or 6 year old child. Like, this is not later in my childhood, right? Like, I wasn't afraid of developmentally disabled people later in life. But it was just such a sad thing as a little kid. And I think that was also part of why I was like, oh, no, sports, not for me. Because sports stressed me out. Because if I was going with my parents, yeah. So, isn't that a weird thing, though? And it just made me think of it so hard. Like, softball, I was like, oh, I'm a kid in my brain right now. Whoa. And I'm remembering it. But because every time I go past Metrotown on the SkyTrain, I see the field where they used to play. So I was thinking about it earlier today, actually. Mm-hmm. And it just made me think of it again.
Mm.
I hope Jim's still out there blowing bubbles, honestly. Because I'd blow some with him today.
Yeah.
It's a little rainy out to be blowing bubbles today, but who knows?
Who knows? Some
Maybe
people
he's got
just
a good rain jacket.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I saw somebody with a Keith Haring rain jacket the other day.
What's that?
You know, Keith Haring was, like, one of the famous artists in New York who died of AIDS in, like, 1987 or something. He's the one who did, like, the thick outline people, and I'll show you a picture of it in a second. But I'd never seen a rain jacket that was made out of art before.
Ooh.
And I thought it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
It's, like, it was, like, iconically queer art on somebody that I know is a straight white guy. And I was like, is that a Keith Haring jacket? He's like, yeah, I love Keith Haring. I'm like, okay. Cool beans. Love it. Let's see if you
recognize. Yeah, artistic rain jackets. Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Interesting.
It's very recognizable artwork, and it's very, very simple and sort of graphical, so.
Mm-hmm. At this ribbon cutting for the design school thing that I was at, we got a little tour, and it was like, oh, yeah, apparently this area is, like, the leading, like, apparel for, like, industrial kind of stuff. So, like, all the, like, cool high-tech rain jackets and, like, you know, all the cool, like, athletic clothes. Like, apparently we're, like, a huge leader here.
Wicking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, in innovation and stuff like that. It kind of makes sense because everyone, you know, you move here and you're super outdoorsy and you need really good rain gear in order to survive, so.
Yeah, I don't have any.
Yeah.
Yeah. Allie and I went camping, air quotes. Last year, for our anniversary, we went and stayed in a yurt on the Oregon coast. They have power and heat, but it was pouring rain. And, like, I had my coat from Aritzia, which is not waterproof. I mean, it's warm. And, like, I think I had some boots. They were not waterproof either. I think they were from Topshop. Yeah.
Not really an outdoor kid.
Uh-uh.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Don't let the bike fool you.
Yeah. Only when it's sunny.
Yeah.
I'm very much a fair weather cyclist as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I started riding my bike to work.
Did you?
Again, because I was riding my bike to work a lot when I was working in the downtown east side, and then I, like, moved to an office that's, like, way closer, but I just didn't ride my bike. And then I realized that my bus ride can sometimes be, like, 45 minutes.
Oh, God. Yeah, why?
Even though it's super close, the bike ride is 10 minutes. And so I was just like, well, it makes no sense to not. But then as soon as the weather started getting gross, I'm like, no.
Yeah. It's tough. I don't like getting rain in my face.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just look terrible. You get to work and you're like wet.
Yeah.
Sweaty.
Yeah.
Clammy.
Gross.
Yeah. I don't have a good, like, shower or even place to change in my office. So, like.
There are people at my gym, because I have Mondays and Thursdays off, so I'm often in the gym during the day at that time and around the lunch hour. And there are, like, lawyers who come in and work on their lunch hour, and they don't, like, go and have a shower after or anything. I'm like, how do you manage? Like, we get so sweaty. Do they just not smell? I don't know. I just feel like I just have to shower immediately after I've been to the gym. I feel so stinky if I don't. And I'm not a smelly person. I just feel gross.
Mm.
So I don't think I could be a go-to-the-gym-on-my-lunch-break person. That's a level of impressive dedication that I'm just never going to get to.
Right.
I can't even imagine working out before work. There are people who get up at 4:30 to work out.
Oh, no, why?
That face you made was incredible. You don't want to be outside and you do not want to get up before a certain time, yeah?
Well, I already get up for work at 6:30.
That's very, can you imagine? That's quite early.
I'd have to get up at 5 to go to the gym before work.
Disgusting.
No.
No, thank you.
Not acceptable.
Nope. 6:30 is pretty fucking early. Mm-hmm. I wake up at 7:30 for work and that feels like a normal time.
Yeah. I start work at 8, so.
I mean,
my alarm goes off at 6:30. I get out of bed at 7:15 and leave the house at 7:30. So, yeah.
I had to wake up at 6:30 for this ribbon cutting thing, and it actually felt...
I'm still laughing every time you say ribbon cutting.
Why? It's cute.
It's just such a cute, like, it sounds like a fake thing you would write about doing working in the, you know, industry you do.
Lots of shaking hands and kissing babies and cutting ribbons.
Yes, exactly. But don't get those confused.
No.
Ooh. Don't shake the baby.
Cut the hands.
Cutting hands. Just shaking ribbons.
And kissing ribbons.
Oh, I love it.
Drink your milk, stay in school, don't do drugs.
Yeah. What is it? But John Mulaney, like... Smoke weed, suck dick, and sell drugs.
No, it's eat ass, suck a dick, and sell drugs.
Yeah, there you go.
I got my mom to say that with me on video, and because she was drunk, and then immediately put it on Instagram, and then an hour later when I sobered up, deleted it.
Yes.
It's like my mom doesn't want to be on the record saying, eat ass, suck a dick, and sell drugs, even if she believes in the message.
Yeah, but you're fine with that, right? You're with yourself, but not your mom.
Eating ass, sucking a dick, and selling drugs?
Yeah.
I don't want to sell drugs. That seems like a lot of work.
Right?
My mom can do whatever she wants. She's a grown-ass lady.
Yeah.
I went to a ribbon-cutting ceremony once for the sign at Dude Chilling Park.
Oh.
Which is...
That's so exciting that they kept it.
Yeah.
But is it gone now?
They reinstalled it. No, it's still there.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. So, it's called Guelph Park, and then... Someone installed the sign without the city's consent, and then they took the sign down, and then there was a petition, and then they built the sign again. I made a new sign, I guess, or commissioned a new sign from the artist and put it up, and it's there. And now everyone just calls it Dude Chilling Park. I don't think anyone calls it Guelph Park. The Dude Chilling isn't even there.
Oh, really?
They removed the statue of the Dude Chilling.
There was a Dude Chilling?
Well, that's
is that why they called it that?
Yeah.
I didn't even know. I just thought that was, like, that's what you do when you go there. You're just, like, a dude chilling.
Well, now that is. That's all there is. You just chill when you go there, and you're a dude.
They took away the context. That's so funny.
But well, I did not even know there was context, so I feel like nothing has been lost.
Maybe they're refurbishing it. I don't know.
They're just polishing them up. They're just chilling them out.
They're putting some sweet shades on them.
Yes. I hope so. Because it's, I mean, that's a piece of Vancouver's history now.
Absolutely, it is.
It's on the maps as Dude Chilling.
I lived very close to Tea Swamp Park.
Oh, love Tea Swamp.
All I did was, I just went and smoked weed there because my landlady was really, had a stick up her ass, so but that's all I ever used the park for. It's pretty much just a rectangle of green.
It's real small.
Yeah.
My wife and I met there.
That's very
cute. We actually shot our wedding photos and did our first look there.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Tea swamp.
Is that, were you like, how did you guys meet?
Oh, OkCupid.
Perfect.
As one should. Yes. But then we had like our, that's where we met in
person.
You're
like, well, we're going to meet up there. Mm-hmm. That's really cute. Yeah, and were you like, immediately? Or?
When I saw her?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we spent like the first 4 hours of our first date walking around in the rain talking and like just talking and talking and talking. It was wonderful. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. We did well.
That's lovely.
Yeah, and it was Tea Swamp, and it was the spring, and there were blossoms on the trees.
Yeah, your wedding was so pretty.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, really cute.
That's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love love. I love hearing about, like, people who are, like, still really in love with each other. I love hearing about how they got together. That's, mm-hmm. like, one of my favorite things.
Well, I mean, one of the things I have to do while I'm here is, like, inspect all of your podcasting equipment, because Allie wants to start a podcast called Meet Cute about how people met.
Oh my god, that's so sweet.
I know.
I want to be on with Tessa. We have a cute
story. Certainly can be.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, our first date was very cute.
Do you want to talk about it right now?
Well, I've talked about
save
it.
Save it for Meet Cute.
I'll save it for Meet Cute.
Yeah.
That's the name of, do you ever watch iZombie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's the name of the butcher shop is Meet Cute.
Yeah.
Goddamn. And isn't that just down on, like, Powell Street or something?
Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I saw the guy who plays Ravi at the Hotel Georgia a little while ago.
He's so handsome.
He's so handsome.
But my friend who was on the show says he's a dick. But the gal who stars in it is one of the nicest actresses she's ever met. So, yeah.
Yeah. Vancouver, it's everything is filmed here.
Yep. Yeah. The second season of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency came out, and we, like, watched almost all of it yesterday,
yeah.
And it's all filmed in Vancouver, mm-hmm. and, like, the surrounding area, yeah. I'm just, like, there's, like, some, like, fantasy castle thing, and I'm just, like, oh, it's Pitt Meadows.
Yeah, totally.
The first episode or the second episode, because I only watched the first two, but it definitely, you can see my apartment building in one of the shots, because they're, like, at the police station yelling at each other, and you can see right up 6th Street to, like, the front door of my building, which is, like, pretty tight.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
They film a lot in US. They film Supergirl at their constantly. I've seen Supergirl in her outfit.
Oh, I saw her as well in Cole Harbour one night. Yes, I was heading back to the car from Nightingale Restaurant, and yeah, Supergirl's on the... Maybe this is spoilers for, like, next season, and I shouldn't talk about it, but it wasn't a closed set. It was definitely a Christmas episode they were shooting. Yeah, there was some, like, wreckage. It was pretty cool.
Christmas wreckage.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah,
you do.
Totally.
Huh. That's cute. I remember going to work, and it was, I think, September, and a whole chunk of Commercial Drive was decorated like Christmas.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I was just like, what is happening? And it was before any of the film trucks had shown up. I guess it was, like, someone had just done the decoration stuff beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, wait, what's going on? This is really weird. And then realized that it was probably for, like, a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww.
We got really Christmased up, like, in September, I think for a release for now. And I think it was called, like, oh, God, what is it? It's about... There's an amnesia plot in it. It's like a love amnesia plot. And so, like, the building immediately across the street from my apartment, which used to be brick and mortar, which is just moved, is this lovely, it's now used for pop-up art shows and stuff like that. It's a lovely little space. And they just converted it into, like, a Christmas bookstore kind of thing.
Cute.
And so there was fake, like, snow on the ground. It's just cotton batting, basically. It's just, like, fleece batting that they just put around the trees in the little wells. And I would just, like... And they're just wet and horrible and just gross. And it was in the middle of September. And it was really tripping me out every time I left for work in the morning. Yeah. Filming.
I just started watching The Man in the High Castle last night. Ooh. Finally.
Is that filmed here too?
Yes, yes, yes. Have you
watched it? Is it about a castle?
No, it's if the Axis had won the war, World War II.
Oh!
Yeah. So,
yikes.
North America is divided between the Japanese and the Germans.
Oh my.
Yes. It's very interesting. I dreamt about it all night.
That doesn't seem super relaxing.
Yeah, but it's definitely filmed here, so that was kind of cool.
Gonna have to check that out, though.
Yeah.
I'm interested. I like alternate history stuff.
Yeah, so I'm interested in it as well. It's cool. It's, like, speculative and...
Oh, I actually just grabbed a... we often book club it here, but... oh, no, I left it downstairs. But my mother-in-law sent me a book for Christmas that I brought with me to actually go see her. It's about basically, like, what if there was really advanced technology available to the peoples of the Congo when Belgium invaded? Like, what could have been different if they had the ability to, like...
Resist
fucking King Leopold. What would happen? Like, and it's just, like, imagines this sort of alternate history where they're still imperiled, but they have the ability to actually resist. So, I'm really excited to read that. I love alternate history. But, I prefer the ones where the losers in history, who were, you know, oppressed, get to win. Like, at the very end of... Inglourious Bastards. Yeah. When you see Hitler, like, explode, basically, it's a pretty cool spoiler alert. Hitler explodes.
If you haven't seen that movie yet, you might never anyway.
Yeah, so. It's been out for 8 years, guys. Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I kind of, like, I'm not super into the, like, oh, what if, you know, the Nazis had won? It's like, let's not. But it's a good show and it's interesting.
Yeah, it's about a resistance.
Oh, cool.
I don't know. It takes place in the 60s. I'm in two episodes in, so who knows? Nice. But yeah.
I'll add it to my little list.
Yeah, for all that extra time we all have, I'm sure.
I know. Mm-hmm. I really... I
somehow find it every
I know.
Time.
I've felt like I've, like, wasted a lot of time recently just, like, in a video game K-hole.
Yeah, what you did, like, manipulate a man into continuing to marry somebody that had cheated on him with magical powers, so...
I think we talked about video games. There's video games on there somewhere. Oh, there yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh, we gotta get... How can we talk about... Do you want to talk about Vegan Cook-Off? Then you can mention curry.
Yeah, we can talk about Vegan Cook-Off. Did you guys have Jen on
we
here,
did,
though?
Yeah. We did, yeah. It was all okay. Vegan Cook-Off.
All the listeners great. Know about Vegan Cook-Off already.
The really dedicated ones do, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. But it's...
Oh, fast bike rides.
Oh, yeah, I got to.
But I got to go... I've since been to a Vegan Cook-Off for the first time.
Oh, impractical footwear. Because you talked about how your boots didn't...
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That's hilarious.
What was your experience of Vegan Cook-Off like?
I really loved it. I was very full. And I got a huge bag of bay leaves, which are the best bay leaves I've ever had.
I know, I got them too.
I've been
so great.
Cooking with my Instant Pot a lot, and I've been, like, throwing that. I've been making a lot of vegetarian curry. Hey, there we go. Well, I mentioned curry, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, okay.
I ate curry earlier today.
There we go. Yeah, I've been making butter lentils a lot, and I made chana sog for Chris's Christmas party, or her Christina-mas party.
So fucking good. It was really good. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. It was, like, melt-in-your-mouth kind of business.
In the Instant Pot?
Yeah.
Love my
Instant Pot.
I'm going to
send that recipe over to me.
I shall, yes.
I didn't get one for Christmas, even though I asked for one, but turns out that I'd already gotten all my gifts purchased for me, but I'm going to get one. I'm going to buy myself one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, the chana sog was a really good recipe. The butter lentils could easily be made vegan.
I use a lot of Earth Balance in my life, so
yeah, that would, yeah, Earth Balance would be good, and a little bit of coconut cream or something would probably make it pretty fucking tasty.
Yeah,
God, it's good. It's just brown goo. I use an immersion blender to blend up about half of it to really make it, like, soupy. And it just was a pile of brown goo, and when I heated it up for lunch at work, when it was so gross outside, it was just, like, a big old spoonful of just comfort.
Yeah. Is it brown lentils you use?
They're either green or brown. Like French lentils, basically.
Same to me.
It's hard to find black ones if you don't go to an Asian market, and I don't actually have an Asian market in my neighborhood. Which is weird.
Mm-hmm. Weirdly, Bailo has a really good Indian food section.
Okay, there is a Bailo not super far from me, so.
Yeah, I mean, they're all different. They're all kind of, like, adapted to the neighborhood.
I got
in.
A Donald's, too, but, so there's probably be some some cool grains and pulses that I haven't tried before.
Neato stuff.
Yeah, I really, like, I want to just go back to, my parents live in Cloverdale, and I went to an Indian grocery with them, and I was like, I need to come back here immediately and just get this box of kasturi methi for, like, $2.
I use that stuff religiously.
It's fenugreek.
Fenugreek leaves.
Oh. Yeah, it really, like, creates a sort of interesting flake, because it's added, like, right at the end to things. It's almost like a garnish, and so it's, like, a really kind of,
it's
hard to describe the flavor, but it's really good. You can certainly eat it without it, but. It's a really nice little touch.
Yeah, my mom picked it up sometime from Superstore because they have it all in the import aisle. And she just, like, we just swear by it as a family. We put it in all our potatoes. It's really nice. Fenugreek
it's good
potatoes.
For breast milk.
Is it?
Fenugreek, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's increases supply.
Yeah, it's really good for you. And you can get seeds as well as ground fenugreek.
I think it's the seeds for your boobs, but I'm not sure.
Good.
Hard to say.
Good.
No, I just got some weird... knowledge that doesn't really fit together in any sensible fashion whatsoever.
Yeah, probably good for trivia though.
Extremely good for trivia. Mm-hmm. If anybody out there is looking for another person for their trivia team, please get in touch with me. Simpsons or regular.
I always think that I'm really good at trivia, and then I go to trivia things, and I realize I do not know anything.
Just randomly, sometimes they'll get a question, though. Yes. That's perfect for you.
Yeah, I have, like, a pretty overinflated sense of my own, like, breadth of knowledge, but it turns out it's, like, not actually that wide.
You know a lot about vampires.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you read all the Vampire Chronicles and all that kind of garbage?
Oh, yeah.
She watches the show.
Oh, God.
I watch all the things.
I do call it garbage because it is garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
I'm here for it.
Delicious trash.
And you're just a media raccoon. Just pawn through it.
But I really like pub quizzes. Like, I wish that there was more... There's probably pub quizzes in Vancouver. I just don't go... That was, like, all I did in Scotland. That was, like, our main form of, like, entertainment. There was,
Is that why they have the Big Fat Quiz every year? Show? Big Fat Quiz of the Year and Big Fat Quiz of Everything? It's a bad show, but I like it very much because Noel Fielding's always on it. And he's beautiful.
Yeah.
So.
Is pub quiz just, like, bar trivia?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I go to one on Wednesdays at the Five Point, Mondays at the American.
Okay, so there are a lot.
Yeah, I think there's another one Wednesdays at... Brighton?
Yeah, Jen goes there.
Yeah.
Oh, there.
That's just right down the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just
blown up our spot.
Fuck, man. I really wish the Brighton was good. It makes me so sad. Like, it just...
It's not sucks. The best.
Yeah.
The Brighton.
The food is really bad. The glasses are dirty. The fucking beer is not good anymore.
And the portions. Yeah, it's not good.
It's just, like... As soon as it moved down, I'm like, oh, sweet, a cozy neighborhood pub. I want to do, like, a session here. It'd be really fun to do
the layout
whatever.
Is terrible for
just
any
not
kind
cozy.
Of live anything.
No,
they,
not good.
A friend of mine tried to do a comedy show there, and it lasted 2 weeks, and I was on the inaugural, and it was rough.
Yeah, it was not good.
I had a pretty good set, though. And for some reason, it went fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No offense, the Brighton, but...
But full offense, the Brighton.
But you burnt.
You burnt. Be better.
Awesome. All right, well, that kind of more or less does it for us for this installment of the podcast.
Brilliante. Thank you so much for being here, Mallory.
Thank you so much for having
me. I did not expect us to talk about sports the whole time, but then we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
El Esportive.
Yeah.
There's a girl named Barbara Adler, who's an awesome accordion player, and she's in, I forget what her band name is, it's Fang something, but it's, hipsters, play sports, and then they do this, like, whole, like, awesome
I
thing.
Love
it's really
it.
Cute, so you guys should have that as your theme song for Tight Club.
Certainly.
Or at least, like, play that song.
Tight Club did a sports day as well, so.
Sports day?
Oh, did you have those little scooter
orange slices?
Things to put your butts on and scoot around on? I love
No, it was in a park, but we did do tug of war, we did three-legged race, we did the egg on a spoon thing. That was ping pong ball on a spoon. But
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, potato sack jumping.
Nice.
Potato sack races.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you guys have orange slices and Gatorade?
Yes. Well, beer. But, you know, same thing.
Very hydrating.
Yeah. It sounds fun. It's like, I'm always like, oh, maybe I'll join that. Maybe I'll join that. And then I don't.
Because that would interrupt your Sims time.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I do enough running around at work.
We are all doing what we can.
Yeah.
And what we want, for the most part.
I do miss yoga a lot, though. And I realize that I'm such an unobservant person that it's like, I actually have a yoga studio, like, in my office building.
Wow.
And why don't I ever go to it? It's literally, it would be the easiest thing. I could go on lunch or, like, right after work.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally
also,
right upstairs.
Yeah, there's also the Ocean and the Crow, I think, that's really close by where you are. I think that's what it's called. I haven't been to a class there, but I went to a Fringe show there, and it was very nice inside.
Got a great name.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, it's just off commercial. It's really
it's pretty close.
It's
a yoga studio?
Yes.
Oh.
I think it's called the Ocean and Crow.
Sounds like a pub.
Yeah.
If it was a pub, I would be there right now.
Yeah, yeah, those are two of your favorite things.
Eating incredible fusion cuisine from the Pacific Northwest. I think that's what I'd be having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. You probably would, yeah.
I'd probably be eating, like, albacore tuna out of a seaweed trough or something. I'm not exactly sure.
Trough.
Just a miniature trough. I don't know. People get very creative sometimes.
Chefs.
Chefs.
What are they like?
They have egos, it turns out.
Yes, they do.
With that... I think we're done.
Yeah, any shows coming up in the next little while, Katie?
Ooh, I'm going to be, I'll promo it on another show later, too, because I'm doing this, it's a show called The Sleepy Girls Show. It's a little bit drag, it's a little bit vaudeville, it's a little bit comedy, so I'll be doing comedy on the show and might do something else. It's prom themed, so God knows I will probably have some prom photos added to the photo carousel. So it should be a good time. I can't remember. I think it's at the Dirty Penny or the Penny, whatever it's called on Commercial Drive. So that's where it's going to be. So I'll,
What are all these places that you're naming on Commercial Drive that I've never heard of before? That's so funny.
Well, the world keeps changing.
I'll just keep turning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited about that though. It's going to be fun. I think I can do something a little more conceptual. So we'll see. Mm. Yeah.
Conceptual.
Hopefully it'll be more fun than my actual grad event. Dry grad sucks. That's why I'll never donate to it at the liquor store. Teens want wet grad!
They're probably drinking a dry grad anyway, right?
Most of them were, but I wasn't because I am also very observant of rules.
Yes. What's your Hogwarts house?
Hufflepuff.
Uh-huh, yeah. What about you?
Slytherin.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm a Gryffindor. Really thought I was a Ravenclaw for a long time. Got a tattoo and everything.
Oh,
nope.
Mistake.
I'm a Gryffindor.
Do you do the, like, the Sorting Hat chats where it's like, what's your, like, your primary and your secondary characteristics?
Oh.
And it's very cool. It's a Tumblr post. I'll try to remember to send it to you. And it goes through, like, your primary is, like, what, like, motivates you, I guess, and then your secondary is what methods you use to achieve those goals.
Oh, yes. Oh, like, Hermione's a Gryffindor, Ravenclaw, obviously,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm a Slytherin with a Hufflepuff rising, or whatever it's called.
I love it.
God, dorks!
I hope I have a Ravenclaw rising, or I'm gonna be pissed about that tattoo.
You probably do. Just say you do.
I do.
I still haven't worn my Hufflepuff vest that I made, because I'm too embarrassed.
Hufflepunk.
Hufflepunk.
That's lovely.
It's good.
Yeah.
Anyway. Like things and do them, even if you're goofy.
Yeah, and this is a fun, you know, a little bit, you know, first podcast of the year, New Year's resolutions, we talk about athletics and things like that. It's kind of fun.
And then in 3 months we'll be like, what kind of donuts have you had this week? I went to Cartem's.
I mean,
we do our best.
It's all good, and everything's cyclical, and it's fine.
Yeah.
So
let's rebirth a little bit,
yeah,
though.
Start this year off with a little bit of fun and a little bit of action.
Brilliant.
Pow, pow.
Pow.
I prefer the vanilla glaze.